It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. This week, we're listening to the voices of Muslims in the United States. And today, we step into the lives of two young Arab Americans. On September 11th, SWAT teams showed up at their suburban mosque, there to protect them from angry protesters who were calling them terrorists. At the time, they were young teenagers. Now they're young women navigating two cultures. NPR guest correspondent Judy Woodruff has their story.
Man, come down.
Asiya Boundawi and her sister Iman are about to leave the house, but at the moment, they can't get out the door.
Iman, where? Can you just find my blue scarf? It has a pin on it.
Asiya already wears jeans and a sweatshirt, but she can't find her favorite headscarf. When she and her sister go out in public, even if it's just to get the mail, they cover their hair.
Okay, I want the blue one because it's ironed and there's a pin on it. And the blue one looks better on me than the black one.
They're both college students. Asiya is 20. Iman is 18.
Can you look in the living room?
Their parents grew up in Algeria, but the girls grew up outside Chicago in Bridgeview, Illinois, where they attended the Islamic school and the Sunni mosque around the corner. They watched Nickelodeon and Al Jazeera and got takeout from the KFC and the falafel place down the street.
It's always like this every time we want to leave.
You're making this so complicated.
Oh, I found it. Pinless, but blue. Where do I have a pin? Oh, there I know.
I met Asiya and Iman on a reporting project where I traveled the country, interviewing dozens of young Americans about their lives.
Found one?
The day before I met them, an NPR producer joined them and recorded these scenes.
And we're ready to go. This is Asiya again, and we're driving past Bridgeview.
My name is Iman. Two blocks are completely Muslim and Arab American in Bridgeview, and that's a block we live on. And so that was probably like the range of where we could play, because like we knew everybody. And when the mosque was built, the non-Muslims were moving out. All the Muslims started moving in.
There's a variety of people. The majority are Palestinian, but there are Syrians, Jordanians, Yemenis, and then there are a few North Africans. So let's go. We're about to walk into one of our close family friends' homes, and we've grown up with them. We've known them forever. And we're coming here for brunch.
Hello.
Their friends are also from North Africa, the Rahima family from Libya.
We're eating right now, and we're typical Libyan breakfast, sort of tuna and olives and feta, tomatoes.
The conversation then suddenly swerves into politics.
Look, I went to this divestment conference in D.C.
20-year-old Asiya Boundawi has worked for an Islamic civil rights group and a Palestinian rights organization. She tells her friends that if they don't like the politics of a certain company, they should consider boycotting.
Socially, you should be conscious about what you buy.
Me, as the average consumer, I am not cognizant of that type of stuff because I don't sit there and try to figure out what every company is about.
But I'm telling you right now.
All I know is I need juice, I go buy it.
But I'm telling you, just, you know, Tropicana is better than Minute Maid, so buy Tropicana.
No problem.
No, that's normal. Like, that's stuff like we would do, like when the whole, like, Juul boycott.
Not
like,
no,
we did that.
Way.
Yeah,
why of course we boycott
right.
Juul anyway.
Because they said that.
They said that they send funds to Israel to fund the arms and all that other stuff that they do.
See, just to say that you have a company in Israel or you send money to Israel is not enough to boycott it, but to directly support the military, like that's, you know,
that's
just supporting the occupation,
like
you know.
That's what's unclear. Like, there was a time where everybody went crazy.
Don't buy
like any of the stuff, which made it so unrealistic for us because it's like, stop living, you know.
It's the afternoon right now, and we're hanging out. We're just listening to music like we usually do. The music we listen to a lot of new stuff, because a lot of my friends go to Jordan and Egypt often, and they come back with, like, new CDs. Arabic pop, I think, is different than American pop. The lyrics are never dirty. It's just, like, nonsensical, sort of. Like, Habibi means my love in Arabic. So it's like, did you know, Habibi, that you're my Habibi? It's just ridiculous. But, I mean, the beats are good. And we're listening to Nancy Ajam, and she's from Lebanon. She's sort of like the Britney Spears of the Arab world.
Another another scene from the Boondawi's day now. A group of young friends at Asiya's house talking about growing up Muslim in America. 19-year-old Esra Rahima describes how she responds when people ask her, where are you from?
I just assume, like, when they say where am I from, I'm very open to be like, oh, I'm Libyan. Like, oh, yeah, both my parents are Libyan. Because I know how people think. Like, they think, oh, what's your heritage? What's your
nationality? But would they
nationality?
Ask you that if you weren't wearing a scarf? Just because you wear a scarf, people think that you're an immigrant. Like, that just pisses me off. You know, I'm proud to be Algerian, but it makes me mad when people think, just because you have a scarf on, you can't be American. You know, they have to ask you, where are you really from? Mm-hmm. No, where are you really from?
No, I've only encountered... When we went... No, this is... When we went to 4th of July, 4th of July, we go to this park where they do fireworks and there's entertainment and whatever. We go there usually like every year. And I felt like we all felt completely normal, but then Asiya kind of felt like, don't you feel like people are staring at us? Like, this is like all American, you know, holiday. And here we are with our like scarves and do we feel out of place? And I'm like, no. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? This is Asiya. In certain crowds, I really do. But, like, in that kind of particular crowd, I feel like people are looking at us and like, why are you here? But yeah. I don't feel like that often at all.
I think you give people less credit than they deserve, because I always maybe felt like that. And then when you go to Europe, you feel like Americans are so much nicer.
What?
Europe is...
I feel the complete opposite way. I feel a lot more comfortable in Europe than I do.
Europe, because there's diversity. You might.
And then these young women ask each other this. When it comes to your own identity, do you think of yourself first as Muslim or American?
Okay, in America, we would say we're Muslim first, right? Because that's what makes us different, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you identify with that one factor within
that's
you
true.
That stands out. But in another country, like in a Muslim country, and if someone asked us to identify ourselves, we would say we were American. It's what you don't take for granted, I guess, that identifies you in that location. You know what I mean?
This is Iman again. The one moment I've most felt American was on my senior trip to Paris. We went to a Muslim school, and it only like holds about 120 kids. And the reason they made it was because of the law that prohibited women from wearing the scarf in public buildings. And so we were talking to the girls, and they were crying and telling us that before the school was made, the girls there had to make the choice of not going to school or attending school without the scarf. It was probably the hardest decision they've ever had to make. And me and my friends were looking at them, and at that moment we're like, thank God we live in America, that I can walk down the street with my scarf on without having to decide to take it off because I have to go to school.
18-year-old Iman Boondawi and her older sister, Asiya. This month, Iman starts her freshman year at Northwestern University, and Asiya begins a college fellowship in Europe for an international human rights organization. For NPR News, I'm Judy Woodruff.